Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Chase McCabe alongside Mark Howard in for Jared Stillman today. He hopes to be back in the saddle tomorrow. Let's head to Mobile, the Senior Bowl. Practice ongoing right now. Let's say hello to Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. TD, I saw the video of the D lineman during the individual period with the American team. How are they looking? Where's the Titans edge rusher? Is he out there? Am I watching him right now?
I mean, you could be watching him right now. There's a few players out here that, you know, look really good. There's some guys. Baylor has an edge guy named William Bradley King who's been pretty impressive. He's someone to definitely watch. Not a high sack number there at Baylor, but, I mean, he's definitely shown a lot. There's a lot of guys, man. Patrick Jones, I know he's a guy that you've heard me talk about, and he matches what they want as far as the versatility and just being able to, you know, be that guy, kind of like a joker, you know, and he'll drop back into coverage. He'll set the edge at times, but mostly, you know, be a pass rusher. So there's a good collection of guys. I mean, I could go on and on, you know. Carlos Basham, you know, he's not really an edge guy, but he's somebody that you could probably put him at five, preferably a three technique, but that'll help things a lot, you know, next to Jeffrey Simmons.
A lot of talk about Greg Rousseau, the Miami edge rusher, who Mel Kiper actually had in his first mock draft going to the Titans at 22 overall. I know he's been there. What have you seen out of him?
He actually isn't playing here, but he just, you know, he made an appearance. The thing I saw out of him is he was really big.
Hey, they need that. 6'7".
Teron, what about Mike Vrabel? How far along is he, do you think, in hiring his coordinators?
It's still a searching process. I know Pep Hamilton is in consideration, but I think the coordinator, that's gonna come from in-house.
What about on the defensive side?
That's what I mean. The defensive coordinator, I think Shane Bowen is going to get that job. I think that's what's going to happen. And, you know, he's just going to have the title. You know, he did the job last year, and he'll just actually have the title itself. And I don't think it's a really bad thing. We mentioned edge rushers and guys that they need to get. And I think that's what's really going to help. You need the horses to run the race.
What about, speaking of Teron Davenport, Titans beat writer for ESPN and ESPN.com, Titans, I believe, are just a million under the cap right now. Which guys do you think are the biggest candidates to perhaps get cut?
Yeah, I mean, the haircut candidates, I mean, you know, Kenny Vaccaro is in the mix. There's a couple guys, Malcolm Butler. There's a few guys, so you know, we'll see what happens if they kick the can down the road or how they go about doing that.
Teron, a lot, of course, coming out of Houston today. David Culley named their head coach, but Deshaun Watson officially asking for a trade. How do you feel like that this is really going to play out with him? Do you think that Houston's going to be forced to do it and, you know, send him off to try and get some draft capital in return? I think we might have lost Teron. We'll try and reconnect.
Or he has no comment on that question.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah, maybe he has no comment on that question. Yeah, we'll see if we can reconnect. I know a lot going on down there at the Senior Bowl. I've never been to the Senior Bowl, Mark. I don't know if you have at some point in your career, whether it's in radio or TV, but I feel like that would be one of those things that would be fun to go to. I know Teron goes every year just to see some, because you hear about, you know, the talent that Kiper and McShay all have in their mocks, and of course we all watch college football, but that's where some of those, I guess, Jeff Fisher, Floyd Reese specials that you don't hear a lot about, that's where they're found sometimes down in Mobile.
Yeah, it used to be where a lot of coaches would fall in love with the workout, and I never got that. I understand. And Floyd, I know a few times, love to see a guy, you know, look great in shorts. And you know, he had a few draft picks that came off of the workout. And listen, you know, Floyd has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But that has been the case in the past with general managers. There are a lot of job seekers down there, a lot of prospective coaches. I think it's interesting that Shane Bowen could end up actually getting the title. He was sort of the defensive coordinator without title this past season. But the other thing about this year that we should mention, Chase, is that John Robinson comes into this draft armed better than just about any year except his first. He's going to probably have an extra third-round pick because of Jack Conklin, a compensatory pick. And I think they have an extra sixth from last year. And I'm still not sure if they have any other extras, but he's been hoarding these picks, and we'll see, what he does in terms of maneuvering if he decides to trade up and trade down in a given round.
Looks like we've reconnected with Teron Davenport of ESPN and TD. I know it's crazy down there, so we won't keep you too long, but what I was asking about Deshaun Watson and the Texans is the Texans' hand going to be forced at some point that they're going to have to move on for him? And what kind of return do you think they can get to try and rebuild their team?
Yeah, I think it is going to be forced. I'm sorry about that. I was grabbing some contact information from a couple players. But, yeah, it is going to be forced because, you know, at this point right now, what more can they do? They're just basically stuck. And it's not just Watson. That's the thing that's so toxic about this. I feel bad for David Coley because he's, you know, walking into a house on fire with a cup of water to put it out, you know, and it's going to be really tough. It's they're going to have to trade him. You know, you can't have the face of your franchise, your quarterback, the guy who's a leader on your team. You can't have him having such a, staunch opposition to what's going on. And it goes, like I said, beyond him. They're going to get a haul for him. But they're eventually going to have to do it. The longer they wait, the less they're going to be able to get. So they need to move forward and get it done.
Mark and I talked about this earlier, that to us, the win-win or as close to a win-win situation would be trading him to the Miami Dolphins because they could get some of their picks back that they gave up in the Tunsil trade. Obviously, Tua would most likely be a part of that. What would you think about Deshaun Watson? Because he walks into Miami, and I think they're an instant – you know, division contender with Buffalo and can make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a really good trade. We're getting to see Coach Flo down here. Coach Flores, you know, work with the guys, and it's pretty cool there. So, you know, I would like to see that happen for sure.
So, Ron, what about this draft from the perspective that John Robinson's going to have an extra third? I still think he has an extra sixth, maybe. And do they get a compensatory for Logan Ryan?
Yeah, they will get an extra third because of Conklin. I'm not sure how that Logan Ryan comp pick is going to fall out, but you know they'll make the best of it. T, what's up, man?
We'll let you go, Teron. I know you're down there working and trying to make some contacts with some of these prospects. If you listen to the podcast talking with TD. This is how he gets a lot of these guests, is making these connections down there at Mobile. We'll see what happens. You know, it's a good question by you, Mark, of trying to figure out the compensation that they get picks-wise with some of those free agents and what he's going to do with them. I am curious to see if we have more of the John Robinson wheeling and dealing like we saw early in his tenure with the Titans.
Well, we've seen him with multiple draft picks, and we've also seen him with only three draft picks, if you remember that year. This will be a lot more fun for Titans fans, especially the extra third. They've got a chance to get a really good player with that for Conklin walking away. And goodness knows they could have used Jack Conklin this year.
Yeah, well, and they could have used their first overall pick too, but you know that might have helped. Yeah, that certainly might have helped. But when we come back, we'll reset the whole Deshaun Watson situation going on in Houston right now. David Culley named their head coach, and I thought Teron's analogy there was really good. The house is on fire, and all he has is a cup of water to put it out. So we'll see how that all shakes out. We'll discuss that when we come back here on Stillman and Company. Chase McKay, Mark Howard, in for Jared today, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think when I see this, Coach Culley had not been named yet. The reports are that he requested a trade over a week ago. I think having worked with Coach Culley a long time ago back in Tampa Bay, he's a really good person, like brings a really good energy with him. smiles but can be serious, but is going to have that father figure to him. And I think it's where I would, no matter what, before, I'm like, look, Deshaun and his agent, David, I would sit there and say, guys, look, we're gonna explore our options too and what we can do, but we're not doing anything until you sit down with the coach. Like, you actually have to just sit down with Coach Coley and meet him, okay? That's what we want you to do. And then if you walk away and you're like, you know what, this isn't for me, I'll talk about what's best for our club, but I think it's what's best for you right now is at least meeting Coach Coley and what he's about and seeing if it fits maybe what you're hoping for here in Houston, because that's why we made all this change. I mean, remember, you know, to me, 6 months ago, and I would talk to his agent about this, 6 months ago, you guys asked for no trade clause. Now, I know you wanted it because you wanted to be in control, but I also think because you didn't want to leave the organization. You didn't want to leave the state of Texas and the no state taxes and all these different things. And now, suddenly, 6 months later, we got rid of the coach that I think you didn't like. Maybe you loved him, which made a change in at the GM position that, you know, generally players don't really get involved in the GM things. And, you know, we wanted you to be part of the coaching hunt. And so it's gotten to a point where it's certainly sideways, but I can't sit there and say it's unsalvageable still just because of the impact of how good that player is on your football team.
Mark Dominic earlier today on Darren Donick and Chase, former Bucks GM, and of course with ESPN. Chase McCabe and Mark Howard here with you, in for Jared Stillman on Stillman and Company. He hopes to be back tomorrow. I think that Mark, he makes a very good point. Sit down and talk to the coach. If you're mad at the GM that you know just got hired, Nick Cesario, you're mad at the owners, whatever. But the coach doesn't have anything to do with it. So sit down and talk to David Culley, your new head coach, and then go from there. I feel like that is a reasonable request.
Well, I can tell you, you know, I know David Culley. I've known him, gosh, for almost 30 years. And David is not only a good man, but if you can't play for him, I'm serious when I say this, you can't play for anybody. And I think Deshaun will like David. I think he'd like playing for him. And David Culley's selling point is pretty simple. He goes, listen, I do want to add to the offense. I do want to, you know, we're going to get you more weapons. But if we fix the defense even a little bit, we got a chance to make the playoffs. I don't know if you can say that going somewhere else. And, you know, you already know, you know, you're already familiar with the landscape here. So, you know, you look at the Texans, you know, they weren't futile on offense. That wasn't their problem. Their problem was they couldn't stop anybody. So if they, you know, if they make a few moves, and I understand they don't have a lot of draft picks, but I'm just saying next year, the way the cap, you know, is going to operate, there are going to be some good players out there. And hopefully with your new GM, you can go out there and get two or three better players to upgrade the defense. And all of a sudden, you got a chance to win the AFC South. You know, with Deshaun Watson, absolutely. We know the Titans. You know, the Titans were 11-5, but that could change in a hurry if they don't get better on defense. The Colts are definitely dangerous. But still, David Culley does have a few things in his favor if he goes and speaks to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I feel like that's just going to be an important step in all of this. To sit down and see where everybody's at, look at philosophies, and, you know, Deshaun Watson may turn around and go, I like this guy. This is somebody I want to play for. Or he simply may go, hey, coach, it's nothing personal with you. I just want to get out of here. I'm ready for, you know, I want to go to South Beach, or I want to go to New York, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, with the whole trade clause situation, you know, he does have a little bit of control. But I go back to earlier of, you know, if it is Miami, if that's his chosen destination, then that's not going to be a bad thing for Houston with what they're going to get back. So I think that if you can sit down, talk with the head coach, and then at least say you tried, then it's going to make you look better to the rest of your locker room and any other prospective free agents that may want to come there. Because if they don't sit down and talk, and this thing just continues to, you know, be a dumpster fire like it is right now, and then Deshaun Watson gets traded, if I'm a free agent and I'm looking at the Texans, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't care how much you're offering. I don't want to be a part of that. So even if the exit is going to happen, you need to make it as smooth as possible at this point.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how far this goes. If the Texans decide they're not going to trade Watson, and they don't have to, he can press for a trade. He can request a trade. Now, Watson can hold out, and that would sort of make it a stalemate. But I think there are a few moves left, and I think that the Texans are going to do everything they can to try to get him from going out the door. And like I said, I think he'll like David. I don't know Bill O'Brien. I know what people said about him, but I know that David knows how to get along with people. You know, David's going in there as sort of a CEO, and I think he'll do a good job. But I think Deshaun Watson needs to give him a chance.
I've had one interaction in my life with Bill O'Brien, and I was standing next to Floyd Reese, so that can't hurt anything. Jared was there too. It was at the combine. He sat down. It was actually kind of a funny story. It was one of those situations where I had Bill O'Brien and Andy Reid show up at the same time to do an interview with Jared and Floyd, and both of them just looked and was like, "Eh, for Floyd, we'll wait, whatever." And Bill O'Brien sat down. Couldn't have been any nicer. But that was it. And I'm not around him on a daily basis, and there are things that you've heard that he's difficult, and you know, media members have said he's difficult to deal with. But David Culley, you know, from what you've said about him and what I've read, that's exactly what they need to try and change some of that perception down there, at least with the Houston Texans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Brandon wants to weigh in on Deshaun Watson on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brandon, welcome in.
Yes, sir. I had a two-part question. With Deshaun Watson and a bunch of these other star athletes from different sports, you have the NBA and the NHL, does that kind of set a bad example for children that says, hey, I don't like where I'm at, I don't like who I'm around, so I'm just going to say I quit until you let me go somewhere else? And then the second part is, how much does his attitude towards the Texans playing with the new or potential GM and owner, would they be worried that if they brought him into their team, what keeps him from doing it to my program now and hurting the culture that I have tried to build?
All right, we'll try and answer those. Thanks, Brandon. As for the first part, setting an example, I mean, I get it. You know, contracts are contracts. You agree to do a job, so you need to do a job. But it's also different with the NFL. And we've seen athletes more so over the last few years speak up on things that they don't like and in some ways whine, James Harden, and they eventually get their way. And they get traded. I do think that's a bad example. I don't, you know, the thing is, have we heard from Deshaun Watson? Has he really been that public with things? No. This has all been, you know, through agents and through Adam Schefters and Ian Rapoport's and people like that. So I get that view of it. And I don't know if I really – I just think that this is a situation where if you're unhappy, then you got to make a change. Contract or not, you know, this is where they have to, and I think talking about it would help things along.
Well, I think that the way – and the NFL does business, Chase, where they can cut you in the middle of your contract, it's not like either side lives up to the letter of that contract.
Right.
So it's definitely a two-way street. So if a player feels like he's underpaid or if that contract has sort of become obsolete, especially in the NFL, where careers are notably shorter in most cases than the NBA or Major League Baseball, you got to get what you can when you can get it. I understand all that. Watson's situation is a little bit different. He's disenchanted with the organization and he wants to go elsewhere. It's not totally a deal about winning and losing. To kids, when he goes out there, he plays hard. He's never been a guy, you know, who's dogged it. But if you're not happy, you're not happy. And I think in that case, if he meets with the coach and every and still remains unhappy, why would you want him around?
Right. And that was going to be my answer to the second part. If he's truly not happy, then yeah, you got to move on, because it's only going to be bad for him to stay, and it's only going to be bad for you for him to stay, because you're just not going to get the best out of either side. So that's why I think that, you know, it could just come to that if they can't figure it out. Let's go back to the phones, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rippum wants to weigh in. Rippum, welcome in to Stillman & Company.
Somebody about to get ripped today. What's salute to you, Mark? What's going on?
How's it going, bro?
You remember me?
Of course.
All right. I left when you left. You know? Hey, the other show, two thumbs down. If I had three, it'd be three down. But, hey, check this out. All right, it's good to hear
from you, buddy.
Wait a minute. I have a question to ask you. If Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, would it be a package deal if they both leave together? How would that work?
No, it would not be a package deal. J.J. Watt's contract is pretty prohibitive. I mean, he would be hard to trade. The only way he parts ways with the Texans, in all likelihood, would be if they cut him. And I just don't see that happening. But no, I don't. I can see J.J. Watt being really unhappy if the Texans traded Deshaun Watson. I could definitely see that, but I don't see them as a package deal.
One more before we get to Terry Crisp. Bo wants to weigh in on the Dolphins at number three and Watson. Bo, welcome in.
What's going on, fellas? Hey, Mark, congratulations on your upgrade. Anyway, that last caller, whoa, they got to stop selling coffee. I appreciate you taking my call, my man, because yesterday I called in off topic. But real quick, Mark, I'm a lifelong Dolphins fan out the womb. And if you was the Texas GM or whatnot, would you consider taking my 18th pick, maybe one of my tools that you all gave us, and a 2021 first-round pick? Because I'm really not a believer in Tua, and are you a believer in Tua, Mark?
I haven't formed a summary judgment on Tua, to be honest with you. I didn't see him play enough. I saw the highlights, and I thought at times he played really well. But, yeah, if I'm Miami, I absolutely try to make that deal for Deshaun Watson, because he sort of represents the final piece of the puzzle. The Dolphins have pretty much everything else. But a major upgrade at quarterback, could put them in the same league as the Bills, you know, who right now, are obviously the best team in the AFC East. So, yeah, if I'm the Dolphins, I am, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to take a run at Watson. Steve Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, wants to bring a championship to South Florida. And I think if he reeled in Watson, that would represent, his biggest and maybe his best move.
Yeah, I have a really good friend that's a huge Dolphins fan that has already texted saying, please, 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 I want to buy a number four jersey with Watson's name on it. So appreciate the phone calls into the Mark Howard Show featuring Chase McCabe. Just kidding. Stillman & Company, Jared, out today. When we come back, Terry Crisp, we'll talk some Preds with him here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. Chase McCabe and Mark Howard in for Jared today. We say hello to the one and only Terrence Arthur Crisp. Terry Crisp, the coach, on the line with us. Crispy, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to talk with you. Marcus, Aurelius, Caesar, how you doing?
I'm great, Crispy.
Good, good.
Hey, 2 points, or 4 points in this case, are 4 points. I look at that as I'll take it all day long. I know there's some things that this Preds team still needs to work on. Let's start with the power play. When you see these guys go on the man advantage and they're running their plays that the coaches have put together, what is it that is off to you? Or is there anything that really pops out that says that it's not working and it's simply the puck's just not going in?
Yeah, it's a combination of a couple. And Matt Duchesne, when after the game he talked to him about himself and how snake bit he is. He feels confident around the net. He feels he's doing the right things, but he says they're just not connecting. Post, a little wide, a toe, whatever, a snake bit. And that's happening to quite a few of them. But having said that, it certainly is not a good excuse, and it certainly can't be a crutch, because we're getting our shots, our points. But I don't understand the guys that are they're wiring the puck, the power play. They think it's got to be 1,000 miles an hour, and it's got to be, and they're blasting over the net, wide of the net, right into the goalie's gut, right into the goalie's glove hand. I don't understand why. I watch other teams. They just flood the front of the net. They risk the puck through, get through traffic, low, low, so that the goalie can't glove it, can't put it in his gut. It doesn't go high over the net. It doesn't go wide of the net. And then it's a mad scramble. And they come up with a loose puck and pound it home. That's what I'm starting to look for from our power play. Let's get some guys that are smart enough to risk the puck through quickly before it gets blocked or tipped, and have two or three guys go to the net, hammer it until they do get a loose puck, and make it happen. Philip Forsberg has got one of the best shots in the league because it's accurate. When he's shooting it the way he should be, is accurate shot. And to me, the power play, I watch all the other teams we're playing, and I listen to some of the out-of-town announcers, and they all say the same thing. All of their power plays are blasting the puck. They're not trying to be cute. They're moving it quick. Bing, bing. I heard Hal Gill last night talking about power plays, and he played on them. They're moving the puck quickly. Snap, snap, bang on net. Bing, bing, bang. They're not going around and around and around and then down behind the net, then back up to the boards, then across, and then trying to pound one down the middle with 18 bodies in front. So I guess the one big thing I'm looking for is a couple quick puck movements and then get it on net. And the other secret is have somebody in front of the net, not off to the side, not try to tip it, go to the front of the net, pay a price, take the goalie's eyes away.
Matt Duchene, to me, is going to be, you're either on one side or you're on the other. And you have some fans that, you know, hey, he's right there, and I'm one of those people that I think he's playing well. I think that maybe he's gripping the stick a little too tight, and eventually those goals are going to come in. And then you have the other side that it's like, what's going on? Why is he? You know, he's not playing well. He's a waste and all that. What? I know if he starts scoring, you know how it goes. I know if he starts scoring, a lot of people are going to shut up. But do you see what I see that of a guy that he is playing well? He's in the right spots. It just, something isn't falling for him.
And you know, he used the phrase snake bit. You know, he said it himself. He snake bit. And I totally agree with him. He's going to the right spots. He's driving to the net. He's making, I like Matt Duchene's game. Overall, I like his game way better than I did last year. I got to be honest with you. He's working both ends of the ice. He's dishing off when he has to. He's driving to the net. And for Matt Duchene, they're going to have to go in for two reasons. He's skilled enough. And I like the phrase he said. He said, listen, he said, I have confidence in myself around the net, around the goalie. So I like that. He says, I can score. So snake bit, yes. They will eventually start to win, and he will get his share and get them. The other side of that coin is I like the rest of his game. So I'd be really ticked off if he was snake bit, not scoring, and doing nothing else on the ice. But that's not true. He's back-checking hard. He's forechecking. He's doing all the things that's asked of a centerman. So I'm gonna take the view that they're going to start to win for Matt Shane. They will. And once they start, he'll be off and running.
We're speaking, of course, to Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst. Crispy, what about the return of Mikael Grantland? I really liked the way he looked upon his return. Why do you think he's responded better playing in John Hines' system than he did under Laviolette?
Probably two reasons. He's more comfortable with John Hines in so much as that he had a fresh start with him. And he and probably John Hines, I don't know, but I'd imagine they've had a pretty good talk, sit down and talk, and what Granlund expects to do on the ice and what John expects, and they've come to an agreement on it. And they've always said that Granlund is a very skilled hockey player. We didn't see a lot of his first go-around with us. But since he's come back, I think three things probably. He's comfortable playing for Coach Hines. He's a skilled hockey player, and he's got something to prove. And two things he has to prove: that when we let him go, him and Smitty turned them loose. That probably hurt. That was probably a little slap in the face. And he's come back to prove that you guys are wrong, and I'm here to prove it and help your team while I'm doing it. And I've always noticed that when guys are in the last year of their contract, for some reason, they seem to have one of their better seasons.
I said yesterday that the one thing we can draw from the first game against the Blackhawks, and that is Pecorine is not ready to go to Shady Acres and retire. And he looked pretty good to me, didn't I'm sure he looked good to you.
Yeah, he did. And of course, you and I have grown up with Pecorine, and we've seen him from day one to now, and you know, we're odds on favorite for him and whatnot. And Saros has come along, and he is now the heir apparent to that throne. And one day he will take it, and he will be crowned king and run with it. But in the meantime, Pecorine is not going away. He feels in his mind that he's good enough. I feel that he is good enough, and the coaching staff and David Poile must, because he is the 1-2 punch we have going. And, yeah, the other night, Pecorine played a whale of a hockey game. Got an overtime win for us, and then last night Saros shoot. So, yeah, I still like Pekka's game.
Crispy, how difficult is it for John Hines and his staff right now to balance the fact that it's a 56-game schedule and they got to win? You're playing your division every game. But you also have some young players on this roster that they're better than the American League and ready for their chance, but not quite ready for an every-night chance. Eli Tolvanen being one of them. Philip Tomasino just got sent to the American League. But how do you balance trying to get them their reps when you're also trying to win a division?
You know what? I don't envy Coach Hines and his staff the position they're in. I've coached long enough to know. And if you do look back over and being honest about it, I talked to some of the guys. When John Hines came in, he came in January. We shut down in mid-March, mid-January. January, period, 2 months then with the team. That's not a lot to get to know guys, to get systems working. It's not coming in as a new coach in mid-season like that. Then they drop. They don't play. Then they go into the play-in, we called it, and no chance to get ready for that. They go in the first round, get knocked out. Now everybody's gone home. Now they're parted. John doesn't get a chance to sit with his players in the lobby, on the plane, in the buses, wherever for lunches. And then we come right back again into play hockey. And what do we have? 10-day training camp, I think it was, from January the 3rd. We opened up on the 14th. I mean, in all fairness to John and the staff, he hasn't had a whole lot of time to get the inner workings of not only the system. Sometimes the system is not the easiest part, to get to know your players, to get to know their mind, to get to know their idiosyncrasies. When do you pat them on the back? When do you kick them in the rear end? Those are all things. And you just mentioned, Chaser, one of the big things, they're trying to initiate, I think it's 7 or 8 new guys into the lineup. 7 or 8 new guys that haven't been here, haven't played a lot. And as you mentioned, some of them are young guys. Some of them are what's the future. Some of them are veterans that have played on other teams, coming into a bit of a new style and whatnot and what to expect. So, you know what? By and large, John Hines has done a good, solid job, as far as I'm concerned, what he had to do when he came in. Now, the thing is, you just said 56 games. How many have we played already? 5 or 6 already? You're right. The leash is a short leash.
And you mentioned those new guys. A lot of them, they have something that this team, you know, has been looking for the last couple of years. Some grit, some sandpaper, you know, however you want to put it. And we saw that last night. And even Matthias Ekholm was getting there, you know, with that hit on Fabro. He's standing up for his teammates. I like seeing that. And I know as a coach that coached and played in the era that you did, you have to like seeing that too.
Yeah, I've been crying for that for a couple of years now. I don't care. And Mark knows it. Mark sat beside me and heard me grumble and bitch and complain about we're not hitting, we're not involved, we're not banging anybody. He makes no marks. Mark used to move his chair out of the way sometimes and the arms got flailing on me. Yeah, I make no bones about it that hockey's a contact sport. And if you're going to win, you better be prepared for it. I watch all the other teams that have won the Cups, how they've won them, and in our divisions what they are. They're a combination of skill, grit, meanness, whack you, and run over top you, and beat the hell out of you every chance they get, and the skilled guys get room to play and do their thing. And right now, I think this is one of our better, you know, Big Trenin. I love it. Olivier, I love this guy coming out of Richardson in the middle of them. He's a grizzled veteran. He's been there. I'm still waiting for Borowiecki. I think that he's got more to have us in the physical department also. But that's bringing up the other guys. That's making the rest of them. And Coach Hines has stated this openly, that if you don't play, you're coming out and a new guy's going in. Like he mentioned, Yarncroft's going to be ready to play pretty soon. He says, Yarncroft's going to play, so who's coming out? Who's going to pay the price? Who wants to give up their position to it? Grimaldi, you know, the speed that he's got. He wants back in there. He wants a job. So we still have some, you know, this is what all the coaches, what they're working with right now. But I still like the amount of grit that we brought to this hockey club. I think David Poile went out and tried to address the thing that everybody told him we needed.
Mark?
Crispy, this schedule is really, I'm fascinated with it. And it was great to get a sweep over Chicago and Columbus. But you got to feel like when the good teams start playing the good teams, it's going to be hard to sweep, hard to win two straight games. So that means you're going to have really packed divisional races this year.
Well, you know what? Our fans are going to be in for a heck of a hockey. All fans everywhere, not only our own fans, but throughout the league and the division. Like already Toronto and the Calgary Flames hate each other after two games, I believe. But Edmonton and Calgary hate each other, no matter if they're just on a bus together traveling somewhere, they can't agree on anything. So you're going to see that develop. Dallas has come in here and whipped us, right? We're not happy with that. We don't appreciate that. Tampa Bay, defending Stanley Cup champions. Carolina came in, they showed us what they can do, how good they are. Nobody's going to go away. It's going to be a dogfight right down to the wire. And you're right. Coming down the stretch run, it's going to be maybe one or two teams might be clear of the pack, but the rest of the pack is going to be a dogfight.
You talked about the power play and what frustrates you about it, but what have you liked better about the penalty kill over the last two games?
The thing I like is we're aggressive now. I hate penalty killing when you stand around like a four-poster basketball. Willie Donick taught me this one. You post up. Who the hell wants to post up? The more you post up on penalty kill, there's four guys standing around like posts. They're passing the puck around. The teams, if their power plays are good, they're eventually going to get a good shot. If you let them set up, let them get the look they want, let them make the pass they want, let them make the skating move they want. No. I'm a firm believer when the puck moves, you move, and you're right in the guy's face. Why would you go to within 5 feet and stop? Who would it within 3 feet and stop? What have you done? You scare him? No, you didn't scare him. He's still got the puck. He's still going to make a shot, make a pass. Be right at him. Make him pay. And when the puck moves, somebody else moves with it. I always maintain when I was coaching, and I had a chance to watch the Russians when they were in their heyday, and I loved their penalty kill. The way they did, I can't describe it on the air here now, but they were the best I've seen at the how they used it. And the reason they could do it was because they were all good skaters. Well, in our league right now, everybody's good skaters, so there's no reason why we can't do it too.
Crispy, Pete and I caught up with Thomas Vokoun last week for Smashville Live, and he said we need to grab some Jack Daniels and share some stories here sometime soon.
I know Thomas Vokoun. He was like, well, I listened to the whole thing with you guys and just sat and laughed and almost had tears because it was such a fun era and time. But we had a lot of Thomas Vokouns to go through. Jason, you've been here. Mark, you've been through. We've been blessed with a lot of them. And we're going to have some more. So our fans are in for some more good hockey. The guys are starting to come alive. They got the points that you said, 4 points, and they're digging in. So let's stay with them.
All right, Crispy. Well, hey, we appreciate it. Good to talk to you. And see you again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Mark, say hello to Jack for me.
I will, Crispy.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
He is Terry Crisp. Of course, you can see him on Fox Sports Tennessee as a part of their coverage. When we come back, there is a hire that has been made in the AFC South, a name that's been linked to the Titans, but it's not the Titans making the hire. We'll tell you what's going on there when we come back. Stillman and Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, it is. Chase McCabe, Mark Howard in for Jared Stillman today. Appreciate Terry Crisp for joining the show. Tune in to Robbie and Rex Road every weekday morning on Preds Game Day at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Your next chance to participate in that will be Monday morning. Some news coming out of the NFL. We've been talking a lot about the Houston Texans today, and we asked Teron Davenport earlier his thoughts on the Titans in replacing the offensive coordinator vacancy that, of course, Arthur Smith leaving to go to the Atlanta Falcons. But Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reporting big hire in the works for the Texans. They're expected to bring in Pep Hamilton as their quarterback's coach, per a source. He had been linked to the Titans interviewing for the OC job. It appears he's going to go to Houston and coach maybe Deshaun Watson. But looks like your man David Culley has made a hire, according to Tom Pelissero.
Well, David's pretty well connected around the league, I would say. And I thought Pep Hamilton would have been a pretty good alternative. And now, as we mentioned, he's going to Houston.
Does a coach like Hamilton that's been in the league for a long time, he's coached some pretty good quarterbacks, and David Culley knows that position, obviously. He's been a quarterback's coach as well and played it. But does that maybe help the situation with Deshaun Watson, the fact that you got a proven guy coming in to work with you?
It's a great question. I don't know his relationship, if he has one at all, with Watson, but Pep Hamilton has coached Andrew Luck. I mean, he's coached a lot of good quarterbacks in his career, so I don't view it as a negative, David Culley bringing him in. Now, it might not be Deshaun Watson that he's going to coach, but I thought that was a pretty good lick on David's part, getting a guy that a division rival was definitely looking at.
Well, and that's going to be the other thing that David Culley's going to have to do. If this meeting between him and Deshaun Watson happens at some point, if he walks in, it's just like a prospective coach in college walking in to talk to an AD or an NFL coach walking to talk to a GM. If the head coach walks in to a meeting with a disgruntled quarterback and he lays out, hey, this is the staff that I've put together, I mean, that's part of the sell job. And if Deshaun Watson looks at the staff and goes, okay, I know this guy, or I know this guy, a lot of respect here, maybe that helps change his mind. So I think that has to, and obviously it can't all center around Deshaun Watson. It has to be, you put your best staff together to help you win and compete in the AFC South, but it can't hurt either.
Now, did they bring him in as quarterback's coach or coordinator?
According to Pelissero, it's saying quarterback's coach.
Well, so that means the Titans couldn't have been that serious about Pep Hamilton as offensive coordinator. And I understand that titles and actual duties at times don't often correlate. But, if he had a chance to be a coordinator with the Titans, I would imagine he would not have taken the quarterback's job with the Texans. That's, my first judgment on it. Plus, I don't know what Josh McCown is he going to be on this staff? Is he going to be the coordinator? I mean, what? Because a lot of people view him as a head coach in waiting, if not for the Texans, then somebody else. And he is sort of the other component in this story about Culley coming in. And I hate it for David that he's going to get asked the question: are you a bridge coach for Josh McCown? I mean, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to be a bridge quarterback, and you definitely don't want to be a bridge coach.
No, not at all. And I want to talk about that a little bit more when we come back, because I have some thoughts on some things that have come up with David Culley and some other coaches in the league as well. We'll do that on the other side. Chase McKay, Mark Howard. It is Stillman and Company here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.